This is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. You're going to find out all the aspects of hiking in our beautiful Pacific Northwest woods.
I'm a country boy with a soft side. My heart wanders up north to the hillside. And I've never met anyone quite as beautiful as you.
Check us out over at CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's right, CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's where you're going to find all the show notes and links right there.
Enigmatic like that of the cosmos, never held your hand.
I want to thank Whiskey Fever for letting me use that awesome track there. That was Tall Grass off their album, Gonna Wake Up This Whole Town. Find them at ReverbNation.com/Whiskey Fever. They're from Cedro Woolley. Go check them out. I'm your host, Rudy Getzik. I put this podcast together to inspire you to get out on the trail. Are you putting in 2-mile hikes, 5-mile hikes? You sitting on the couch? Have you even gone on a backpacking trip yet? I'm going to introduce you to some folks that have done that and a whole lot more. So without further ado, here is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. All right, next on the Cascade Hiker Podcast, what's your name and where are you from?
Ray Swernevitz, and I'm from New Orleans.
Okay, well, you know what, Ray? You're probably the weirdest guest I've ever gotten because I got you contacted through my mom. So tell me about, how'd you meet my mom?
Yeah, me and my buddy Michael were doing the Pacific Northwest Trail this year, and we were taking the rail trail from Concrete to Cedro Woolley, and we rolled into a brewery in between Concrete and Cedro, which was really nice, and had some sandwiches and drinks, which was a pleasant break in our hike. And we ran into your mother, and we had our hiking gear on, so it was pretty clear what we were about. And she introduce yourself and talk to me about this podcast and so that you might be interested in talking to us. So we shot you an email. How I got in touch with you. Yeah.
Well, sweet. Hey, shout out to the Birds View Brewery and to my mom, Pam Getzik. So that was awesome, man. I appreciate all that. I'm glad you got in touch with me because, you know, the only person I know that's hiked, well, yeah, the only person I know that's hiked the Pacific Northwest Trail is Jeff Kish. And he's in charge of the trail right now, and he was on episode 40. So we kind of got the kind of run around of what the Pacific Northwest Trail is. So if you go back and listen to that episode, but this would be cool, man, because we're going to hear about it from somebody that hiked the trail that's not, you know, the person in charge of the trail.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to talk about it. It was a good time.
All right, so tell me about the start of the trail. What time of the year did you start, and who was there, and what were you feeling?
Yeah, me and my buddy Michael, we started July 27th, I believe, which is fairly late. Folks, I guess, start as early July, late June, and about as late as we start it. So yeah, we started at Glacier at the northeast corner of the park, Chief Mountain Customs, and started hiking across. So yeah, it was probably what's most notable about our trip, I hadn't actually been backpacking much before I went on this hike at all. Learning a lot on the fly. My buddy Michael had more experience outdoors, which was super helpful, just kind of knowing the basics. I really had not been backcountry camping before that week in Glacier. And so had to learn a lot as we went.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Well, that must have been pretty kind of daunting. Look at the numbers when I suppose he must have talked you into doing the hike then?
No, not quite. I was looking for an adventure to get away for a little while, and I started kind of researching through hikes, and the Pacific Northwest Trail came up, and I was kind of interested in it both because of the scenery and the part of the country that it was in and the total mileage. I thought I could get away for about 2 to 3 months, where something longer like the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail didn't seem as doable in just terms of, you know, getting away from everything. So I kind of keyed in on it, and then I knew my buddy Michael might be interested in that. And, we decided it'd be good to do. We did very much read, I think Jeff Kish, and the folks who put together the resources that describe the Pacific Northwest Trail do a good job of explaining that if you're new to it, that it is probably not the ideal through hike. And so I think we understood that, but we were green enough to do it anyhow. So we went for it. And we did research and prepare a lot. I think we did a good job getting the right gear and all of that. But it was certainly very hard, particularly with the really tough trails. So,
yeah. Well, so you start out in a national park. Was there, and because of permits and stuff, was there anybody that was starting with you at that time, other than Michael?
There was not. And we actually did not cross another person that was doing the full Pacific Northwest Trail actually until our last day in the hike.
Wow.
We ran into a guy in Bonner's, outside of Bonner's Ferry, Idaho, that was doing about half of it. That was basically the only guy that we ran into that was doing a significant portion of the trail before the last hike. And yeah, on that note, on the permits in Glacier, if anyone is considering doing this trail next year, we were under the impression that we would just be able to walk into the backcountry permit office and get the permits that we needed. Turns out the backcountry hiking at Glacier has really gone up a lot in the last couple of years. And so it was really hard to get those permits. And we had to be waiting at the backcountry permit office at 5:30 in the morning before we started the hike, just to make sure we got the sites that we needed. So anyhow, heads up on that if you're planning this trip this year.
Hey, one of the ways to support the show is go over to patreon.com/CascadeHikerPodcast. Become a patron for as little as $1 a month or a little bit more. We got quite a few people checking that out, and we got a couple other people that have become patrons. Now it's your turn. Support the show. Thanks a lot. Also, this show is brought to you by Rivertime Brewing Company in Darrington, Washington, where their motto is beer at an appropriate pace. Get $1 off your first pint. Tell them the Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you. That's right. I got you a deal. Go check them out. Darrington, Washington, Rivertime Brewing Company. Also, this episode is brought to you by Hiker Trash. Go to wearehikertrash.com. Check out the hats, the shirts, the stickers, and the tattoos. Hiker Trash is a pretty cool name for hikers, especially in the long-distance hiking world. Hiker Trash just means a community. Hiker Trash know each other. They're friends. They've been through a lot on the trail together. So get a shirt and represent Hiker Trash. wearehikertrash.com. Thanks, sponsors. Back to the show. So you got through, was there any hiccups in Glacier in Montana? I mean, kind of walk me through the trail. Was it, you know, how was Montana? Yeah. How was Idaho?
Yeah, well, Glacier was great. And really all of the national parks that you're in, the trails are beautiful and easy to follow. And no trees in your way or really difficult navigation situations to manage. And once we got out, so we went through Glacier, that's about 55, 60 miles. Had a little stop in Polebridge, which is a really quaint little town off the map. And then we went through Flathead National Forest, which is also really, really pretty, right next to Glacier. But without the national park, attention, and also, you know, without the trail maintenance and lots of things like that. But I still think Flathead National Forest was pretty decent on trails as well. But we started to get into more murky situations where we couldn't tell if we're on the trail or if it was just overgrown at points. But that was also really pretty. We went the more standard route, which is more southern. A lot of people, I think, like to go the more northern part through the Ten Lakes area. So we went to Flathead National Forest, and then the next stop that we went through, I think, was Eureka, Montana.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was our next trail town, which was a nice little town. And I'm trying to piece this all together. That was definitely a much tougher segment than from Glacier to Pole Bridge.
Oh, okay.
It was just a little bit longer, and we're out there with harder navigation. And I think also we had taken sometimes with the Pacific Northwest Trail, you know, we'd downloaded these tracks. We'd actually downloaded these tracks by this guy named Yeti. And they would have lots of alternative routes. And we didn't necessarily, they weren't necessarily like, they didn't have context. I think with Eureka, they had a suggested route, to get into town that we had taken, that was probably different than what was in the trail guide. And then ended up kind of not really being a route and sort of diverting through some private property. Maybe in the past it had been private property. That was actually one of the scarier moments of the trip. And there was plenty of signs on people's property that made it clear that it was private property. So and that they weren't necessarily looking for visitors. So we hastily tried to get through there and get into town. And we did, I think around like 10 o'clock at night, and very tired and sore. But we were welcomed by a really nice trail angel in Eureka.
So you had your GPS was saying, go straight through here, and you run into these signs saying, don't go through here.
Yes, which is not an uncommon thing for the Pacific Northwest Trail. Just a good thing to be. I think there's lots of portions where I guess maybe there's some ambiguity in who owns the land. If there's a public easement, like through a property, like we talked to we were outside of maybe Oroville, Washington. And we were going down this trail, and the guide asserted that it was there was a public easement through this land. And we ran into the owner of the land, and he suggested that it wasn't, but he regularly has that conversation with hunters. I'm sure there was some ambiguity. Yeah, he was a nice guy. He let us through. But there is some murky hiking along the way. So.
Well, I think what you're kind of describing was like Jeff Gish in episode 40. He was talking about how really there's some areas of the Pacific Northwest Trail that are kind of choose your own adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that kind of what you were finding?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a whole bunch of different ways to do this hike. Once we got into the groove and kind of really figured out what we wanted to do. We got better at making those decisions, but there really are a ton of alternative routes, depending on what you want to see, the distance when you go, and, just what your route plans are. So
what about as you're coming across Washington then, what'd you think of Washington once you got in there?
Washington, I mean, the whole way was beautiful. I think what's incredible about this hike is you spend so much time up high with just panoramic views, and it was kind of constantly breathtaking. But once we got into Washington, first of all, I expected it to be, I understood that Eastern Washington was more dry, and I expected it to be more kind of dry, arid hiking, but actually there wasn't really that much of that.
Nice.
That's right at the start going into Oroville. We didn't have some of that, but it was, and that was actually, we had some water challenges there. So going into Oroville, I would carry more water, where most of this trail, you don't have to carry a whole lot of water. But that was still really pretty, actually, coming into there's like a kind of like a canyon feel going into Oroville. And then Oroville is a really great town. If you're hiking in, I definitely recommend you spend at least an evening in Oroville.
Nice.
And then after Oroville, we actually went down to Loomis, because I had lost my phone in a bushwhack in Idaho. There's a tough 5 mile bushwhack in Idaho between, let's see, it's right around Upper Priestley Lake, and there's, these natural rock slides also that you hit right after you get through the bushwhack, but it's a 5 mile bushwhack. And yeah, it was pretty gnarly. And I had a case and a lanyard on my phone, and I think it might've got caught on a bush or something as we were kind of just going through brush for miles. So that was a bummer, but I ultimately was able to get a replacement by the time we got to Loomis, which was important, because that was immediately before we did 135 miles mostly through the Passaic Wilderness, until we got to Ross Lake Resort. That was the most memorable and part of the trip for me, and I think the most beautiful and breathtaking part. It was the most remote, because it's designated as wilderness. It was just all trail, no forest roads. The Passaic is just unbelievable. I think the Olympic National Park and Glacier were both awesome as well. And so I've been recommending folks check those out if they're interested. But in terms of, I think, the most enchanting experience, the Passaic Wilderness, hands down, was the highlight for me. It was also the hardest part. We did that 135 miles in 6 days. And so that was one of our more aggressive kind of mileage segments. And it was rainy a lot. There seemed to be a pretty standard climate within the Passaic. It was almost every day. It was overcast most of the day, rainy in the morning. It would clear up in the afternoon, which would create these really beautiful, really beautiful skies with just the sun poking through on hitting the mountains.
Wow.
I mean, it looks like it, there's parts of it that look like, look like you're in Middle Earth, and it's really beautiful. I think it's Cathedral Pass. It's this mountain that looks chiseled, like a church, that is really stunning. And then that's through that segment, you actually run on the same trail with the Pacific Crest Trail for maybe 15 or 20 miles. And that portion of the trail is really, really great too. And because it's the Pacific Crest Trail, it is maintained amazingly. It is like a red carpet has been rolled out, and there's just this perfect trail with no trees. And sure enough, as soon as you turn off the Pacific Crest Trail, what's also cool about that, doing the Pacific Northwest Trail, is, you know, we rarely ran into any hikers, even like day hikers or overnight hikers, once we were outside of the parks. But on the Pacific Crest Trail, you pass so many folks. And so we got to interact with a lot of people that were within 20 to 30 miles of finishing the Pacific Crest Trail. So that was cool. But yeah, sure enough, as soon as you turn off that Pacific Crest Trail, right back onto the PNT, there's a huge tree stuck over the trail that, of course, was the trail that we had to take. And we're like, yep, this is this is our trail.
This is the place.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was great. The Basayan is awesome. Anybody who can get in there for a couple days, it is just awesome. There's just so many little crazy things. One night we had a real, real tough hike, and it was wet and rainy, and we saw on the guide that there was going to be a cabin, the Tungsten Miner's Cabin. And with some of these things, you don't really know how if you're going to be able to stay in it. In this one, they said it at different times it had been rodent infested. And they seem to have high hopes that you could stay there based on recent hiker reports, but it's always like, you never know. And so we're kind of losing daylight and wet and cold and tired. And fortunately we get to that. We find this cabin, and it is awesome. It has a functional wood stove. It had dry wood ready to go.
Wow.
That was one of the nicest, yeah, that was just, we had an incredible amount of gratitude to find that. And we got to dry our clothes. I mean, normally you're ending the day wet. That means you're starting the next day wet. But we got to dry our clothes and get a warm night's sleep. And that was just magical. There's another night we stayed at this like old, it used to be a landing strip. They had totally flattened this part of the wilderness, and they built a landing strip some time ago. You know, it has long since been out of use, but it's still totally flat. And, you don't really walk across much ground between Glacier and the Pacific Ocean. That's even flat for more than, 10 feet. and so just to see this in the wilderness, this like totally flat plot of land and relatively young trees popping out of it, also had this very kind of enchanted feel to it. So that was the Basayan was awesome. Go check out the Basayan if you can. I can't speak highly enough of it. So
yeah, I just recently this last year did the Pacific Crest Trail from in that area, and man, I tell you, just that small portion I did of the Pacific Northwest Trail is just amazing.
It's yeah.
Crazy.
Yes. Yeah. It was wild.
So you came up over Baker, and you kind of got some road feel there, and then you cut over into the Park Butte area, and then you rolled into the Rails of Trails down into Cedar Woolley.
Yeah. So let me. So we were planning on going right through Ross Lake to Mount Baker. We were in such tough shape after the segment that we went out to Concrete for a couple days, and then we actually came back to Ross Lake, then went back to Baker.
Oh, okay.
Then came back down to Concrete, yeah, and then went down to Cedar Woolley. That's right.
Hey, one of the ways to support the show is go over to patreon.com/CascadeHikerPodcast. Become a patron for as little as $1 a month or a little bit more. We got quite a few people checking that out, and we got a couple other people that have become patrons. Now it's your turn. Support the show. Thanks a lot. Also, this show is brought to you by Rivertime Brewing Company in Darrington, Washington, where their motto is beer at an appropriate pace. Get $1 off your first pint. Tell them the Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you. That's right, I got you a deal. Go check them out. Darrington, Washington, Rivertime Brewing Company. Also, this episode is brought to you by Hiker Trash. Go to wearehikertrash.com. Check out the hats, the shirts, the stickers, and the tattoos. Hiker Trash is a pretty cool name for hikers, especially in the long-distance hiking world. Hiker Trash just means a community. Hiker Trash know each other. They're friends. They've been through a lot on the trail together. So get a shirt and represent Hiker Trash. WeAreHikerTrash.com. Thanks, sponsors. Back to the show. So I think one of the coolest things about the trail is that I actually started day hiking it when I had more time in January. And it's one of those weird trails. I think a lot of people maybe that think about that Pasayton area or the Pacific Northwest Trail, those are Pacific Crest Trail. I mean, the, those key areas, those alpine, you know, high meadow areas, you know, it's, those aren't areas you can day hike during January in Washington, but the areas you can are road walking, a lot of that city stuff. But I think a lot of people that listen to this podcast have been to those areas, the Deception Pass, you know, Highway 20, that whole area in there. And I think it's kind of a unique area to talk about because people can relate to it so much because they've driven it. Mm-hmm. So how was that for you?
Yeah. I think that part was super cool. At that point, we were feeling pretty rough. So honestly, just hiking without crazy elevation was really nice, particularly without crazy descent. let's see. Anacortes was a really nice town. We actually had some of the best food on the trail in Anacortes.
Nice.
They had some really great seafood. And then, yeah, they had a cool little trail circuit, like, right outside of town. You're sort of walking through a sort of suburban-feeling community, and there's just a trail circuit that runs through it. Deception Pass was really nice. And there was a ton of campers. There was a ton of campers there, which was, again, novel for us to just kind of be in a campsite with other people and kind of have that interaction.
Oh, so you camped there?
We camped at one of the state parks around Deception Pass.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We ultimately worked our way down to the ferry, Cootville, right? That's where the ferry comes in. The sound was really cool.
Coming from New Orleans, you know, had you been on a ferry like that before? Or?
Not, let's see. They have a little ferry that goes across the river, like probably in New Orleans, you know, like 500 feet or something. so definitely take that one. But not a big old ferry that goes across a larger body of water that I can recall. Certainly not down here in New Orleans. Also, I grew up outside of Philadelphia, so might have been on some different things over there. But definitely the ferry is a way to get from the mainland to the peninsula or the islands is something that I wasn't super familiar with and also thought it was pretty neat. So.
Well, it's got to be kind of a cool moment, too, because from the ferry, you know, you could see a lot of things. So, I mean, you're looking back and you could kind of see Mount Baker. I mean, I don't know if it was if it was a nice day or not, but then you could see the Olympics ahead of you. And what a cool moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were really excited to the peninsula in the last leg of our trip. I think also you see some during one of those rides, we saw some maybe otters, or there were like small dolphins. And there's some pretty cool wildlife in the water that you frequently see on those ferries. We were super excited to get to the Olympic Peninsula and to be starting the last leg of the trip. By the time we were there, it was late September. And so we were getting a little bit more concerned of hitting some colder, wet weather. We were excited to get started the next part.
So you get into Port Townsend, and that's a really cool town too over there on the other side.
That is a cool town. We saw a nice movie at this old style movie theater there.
Wow.
Had some good food. It was also one of the more, it also is the most expensive town that you'll really go through on the hike. So I know a lot of our hikers are traveling on a budget as we were. So that's one thing to note. But But yeah, it was a really cool town. They had great food and caught a movie. Yeah, we didn't stay there too long before jumping in back into the hike into the Olympics. But yeah, that was great.
Is there a lot of road walking then to get into the Olympics?
It is. And I'll say in general that we definitely did our fair share of hitching when we were road walking. Now that was a decision that Michael and I made and feel good about. But that is actually one part of the trail that the guidebook basically recommends you road walking, recommends against road walking right outside of Port Townsend. It's like a particularly, yeah, I think it's a particularly fast and kind of narrow highway with not a lot of shoulder. So we actually took a bus down. I forget exactly where we went, but to drop into the national forest, a little bit more west on the peninsula. Forget exactly where we got off, but yeah, you can they have a nice bus system there. So you can take it and get dropped off in a number of places to jump into the national forest and start your hike there.
Great. Yeah. I mean, you guys were pressed for time. So then when you got in the park, then how was the Olympic Peninsula? Olympic National Park?
That was also just outstanding. I think that was definitely the part of the hike with the most diversity in the kind of land that we were going through. It started with this, amazing ridgeline hiking, which was like a lot of our trail, just around, above 6,000 feet, around 7,000 feet, just panoramic views and glaciers and everything. It was stunning. I think it's the Seven Lakes area, and the Highline Trail that you spend a lot of time on that is really remarkable, and I think one of the more known trails in Olympic National Park. And that was awesome. And yeah, I saw eight bears overall on the trip, but we saw a bunch in Olympic, and they were just hanging out. They didn't care that folks were around.
Yeah.
They just did their thing, and you walked by them, and they didn't run. Or that was probably the most bizarre interaction we had with bears because they didn't run. But they were pretty, and they were just eating their berries. So yeah, so you do the ridgeline hiking, and then you drop down. We went down the Bogachiel River Trail, which cuts through basically rainforest. And that was the first time we'd been through something like rainforest on the trail. And that was also beautiful. Everything is just covered in green.
Yeah.
It's relatively tough hiking because even though it wasn't raining, everything's kind of wet. And it was a lot of hiking on this rocky, wet trail. But nonetheless, it was still beautiful. And we caught some, we caught like a three elk that were just, magnificent.
Wow.
So we went down that Bogachiel River, and then of course we get to the coast. And I haven't spent much time in the Pacific Northwest. I hadn't really spent any time in the Pacific Northwest before this, and haven't even spent much time near the Pacific. So I mean, the hiking along the coast was awesome, and a totally new experience for me. And just like approaching the ocean and kind of getting the smell of it after, over 1,000 miles and being in pretty rough shape physically was really cathartic. And just, yeah, it felt great. And so, yeah, I really love the Olympics, and I would recommend folks go there mainly because you can do if you want to do a 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 mile hike, you can see so much different types of land and scenery. Yeah, with Wilderness Coast hiking and rainforest hiking and ridgeline hiking that I think is pretty, I think I'm sure that's pretty unique. I don't think there's a lot of places you can go and knock out 60 miles and see all those things. So,
yeah, that's cool. And as you're sitting there describing it, I'm thinking about you from New Orleans, and I'm thinking, man, you know, Ray has probably never been to this area. So you come in here and you see all these alpine areas, you know, bouncing between huge lakes and rivers and alpine areas all the way to the coast and the ferry and everything. I mean, it's got to be just amazing for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all stunning. It was really all stunning. And to what I've been hiking on the East Coast, actually, just a week or so ago, I went out to the Smokies and did a little trip. So to the extent that I've seen mountains, it's been mostly East Coast, Appalachian. It's just a totally different ballgame out there, Pacific Northwest. You're so much more above the tree line, and you can see so much more. And then to just like look behind you and have this massive glacier, and things like that is just, it's breathtaking. And I think that was really important because a lot of the time we were focused on, you know, not feeling so great or, you know, not being psyched about eating peanut butter at the time or what have you. And so to kind of constantly be, reminded or constantly be surrounded by this beauty and not help but be like, regardless of what I feel like, I want to kind of take this in and appreciate it. It was really nice and definitely kept us moving. So, thankful for that.
I would imagine that, not a lot of people picked the Pacific Northwest Trail to be their first trail. Now that you've done it, are you looking at any other long trails?
For right now, I'm not looking at something super long. Probably my more immediate plans are to go for more like week long hikes and try to take folks out that haven't been hiking before. Being from New Orleans, a lot of the folks around here, particularly, you know, I'm a part of a church here that I really love, called St. Rock Community Church. And, some of the kids that I go to church with or that are in my community, they definitely haven't been hiking places like this. And actually, before we started the trip, Michael and I went with my friend Tyron to Glacier and, did a couple nights there. And that was really awesome to be able to share that with him. And he enjoyed it. So I think my short-term goals are to kind of take other people out and go hiking with them. And then if I do another one, I'll probably do one more like a 200 mile one, like the John Muir Trail I'm kind of interested in, or one like that, that I can do without taking extended time away from work. I think in the long run, I would be interested in a longer one, but I don't, I'm not prepared to kind of get away from all my other life's responsibilities for a few months. So I'm going to try to stick to shorter things for a while.
Oh, that's great, man. I like to hear that. And, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons why I do the podcast is, you know, try to get people out there inspired, you know, and now you are that inspiration, Ray.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, cool. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the Cascade Hiker podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me, Rudy.
Okay, that's the show. Thanks a lot for listening to the Cascade Hiker podcast. Send me an email, rudy@cascadehikerpodcast.com. I love the feedback. Also, hit me up on Facebook. North Cascade Hiker is my Facebook page. Twitter, _N_Cascade Hiking on Twitter. And Instagram is North_Cascade_Hiker. So pretty simple to find me on social media there. You can also just leave a comment under the show. So I try to give you plenty of ways to get a hold of me. Do so. I want to hear from you. Thanks again for listening to the Cascade Hiker podcast.
I would leave this world for a beautiful girl if I could.
just find you.